Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope that you had a great Easter weekend. We had a big service Friday night at 7 o'clock for Good Friday, where we do what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We proclaim his death until he comes, and we focused on the cross and took the Lord's Supper together. It's always a special, special time. And then Sunday we gathered to, as did so many Christians around the world, we gathered to celebrate the empty tomb. You know, it's hard to say you celebrate the cross. You remember the cross and the sacrifice that was paid. You celebrate the empty tomb. And really, that's a package deal. As I mentioned to the church yesterday, you know, the cross without the resurrection doesn't mean anything. You have to have both. Paul makes that clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, along with Christians around the world celebrating the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his conquering death, hell, and the grave, our administration, the Biden administration, proclaimed on Friday that March 31st would be Transgender Day of Visibility. And so he announces that on Good Friday, and the celebration is on Sunday, the day that Christians are celebrating the empty tomb and the risen victorious Christ. It was sickening beyond words, and some have come to the defense and say, oh, you don't understand. It's always been on March 31st. It just happened to be on Easter. Nobody is putting a gun to Biden's head and saying, hey, you have to recognize this. Transgender Day, that's a fantasy. It really fits on April 1st, not to demean anybody, but it is utterly foolish to think that a man can become a woman can become a man. And so Christians were outraged, as they should have been, and I've invited my good friend, Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, to weigh in on this subject. And so, Tom, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. Like you, we rejoiced yesterday in the resurrection of our crucified Savior, and we grieved and lamented and pled with God that he would come and remove or correct or save our godless president. It is a grievous thing that he has done, and this almost defies any kind of explanation. I was looking at exactly what President Biden had to do. I mean, he had to go out of his way to make this official proclamation on this horrific day that the LGBTQ plus people have set aside. And he had to find a time to do that because there's 145 days that are on the United States calendar to celebrate this kind of immorality. I mean, if it weren't true, it would be hilarious. So we've got the Transgender Day of Visibility on the 31st. We got International Asexuality Day coming up on April 6th. April 13th, the International Day of Pink, which opposes homophobia. April 14th, the Day of Silence. April 26th, the Lesbian Visibility Day. That's to say nothing of the whole month of June, which is Pride Month, or the whole month of November, which is Trans Awareness Month. And we could just go on and on and on and on. The Christians need to wake up and realize what's happening here. We are being coerced by our calendar to celebrate this new pagan religion that has overtaken our nation and that is now being promoted by the President of the United States as he lights up the White House in all of the rainbow colors to celebrate transgenderism every chance he gets. And we are under a regime that is worshiping pagan gods. And if we don't see that, then we're not going to know how to respond. So we're in a pagan administration, under a pagan administration, and all those who say, oh, well, America, you know, can't be Christian, or you got to keep your Christianity out of the public square, it's naivete. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, Proverbs 14:34 says. And if we believe that, then we need to be praying and calling for righteousness, even in the highest office of our republic.
Well, it's amazing to me, Tom, how people can be so deceived. Evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And you think, okay, you know, you don't rise to high levels in government if you're an idiot, typically. I mean, you could argue that with what we got now. But it's like, this is so, transgenderism is such an open and shut case. It's just so obviously false. It's living in fantasy land. And why does anyone participate in that? I tweeted out yesterday. I said, you know, if you have a girl that is dealing with anorexia, what kind of a monster would pat her on the back and says, that's right, you are fat, just diet a little more and do some more exercise.
Right.
You know, we're not helping anybody by cheering them on in their delusion. Well, Tom, I wanted to read just a few sentences from this proclamation and get you to comment. Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation. This is from Joe Biden. Whether serving their communities or in the military, raising families or running businesses, they help America thrive. They deserve and are entitled to the same rights and freedoms as every other American, including the most fundamental freedom to be their true selves. But extremists, and it has a parenthesis like Tom Askell, are proposing hundreds of hateful laws that target and terrify transgender kids and their families, silencing teachers, banning books, and even threatening parents, doctors, and nurses with prison for helping parents get care for their children. I mean, the deception in those sentences is just off the charts. So, what do you think of when you read that?
Well, I think of the fact that we are being played. We are being jammed. We are being desensitized. We're actually way past being desensitized. And every Christian, every right-thinking American needs to wake up and understand what is happening here. One way that you can test a moral obligation that's being foisted upon you when people tell you you should do this or this is a right or this is something that we need to honor is substitute a different activity. So instead of transgenderism, substitute white supremacy in that statement, put it in that statement. Substitute Nazism, substitute pedophilia or bestiality, and then read that statement again, and everybody will recoil because those things, you know, we just haven't gotten there yet, and probably, you know, we were there with white supremacy and perhaps Nazism in different sectors of society in days past, but now then, no one wants a Nazi to be his true self and to be protected by the law. No one wants someone who believes he's a murderer to be his true self or a pedophile, although there are now great lobbyists that are trying to say pedophilia is just love. Love is love. So we are being played, and if we don't recognize it and stand up and say, no, this is lunacy. This is insanity. Just think about this, Jeff. 75 years ago, or even less than that, had someone advocated for the kinds of things that are being normalized today, like drag queen story hour. Somebody walked into a library, a man dressed like a woman, and acted the kind of provocative ways that they do, they would have been arrested. They would have been charged, rightly so, with child abuse. You walk into a doctor's office 50, 75 years ago and say, doctor, I was born a man, but I think I'm a woman. Well, what does he do? He tries to deal with your mind. He says, this is a problem with your thinking, with what's going on with you mentally. Today, you walk in, they say, okay, well, let's schedule you for surgery. It's a problem with your body. I mean, this is something that we have intentionally been moved to completely reverse how we conceive of what the problems are, what the reality is. And the only way that we're going to get out of this is to go back to the Word of God, let God be true, every man a liar, and realize that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let us make man in our own image, and male and female, he made them. If we don't get back there, then we're going to completely be disoriented. We're going to continue to be misled by these people who are promoting insanity and absurdity, and we will continue down this pathway of God's judgment.
Yeah, cataclysmic judgment is coming to America, no doubt. And when we flaunt this stuff, you know, you think about the kings in the book of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles that did those things, actually Kings and Chronicles. You know, God can take that for so long, and then he just says, enough. You know, all this idolatry is just sickening. Well, speaking of that, Tom, I found it very telling that our Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention had nothing, to my knowledge, nothing to say about this that so many others were commenting on. Al Mohler came out very strongly against this Transgender Day of Visibility. I think our ERLC comes out very strongly, anything related to Trump, but they seem to be silent on things related to Joe Biden. Why don't you comment on that?
Yeah, well, our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission is a joke. Southern Baptists ought to be embarrassed. It's worse than nothing because they take our money to do what they do, which is almost always inadequate and sometimes just repugnant. And so they refuse to speak on this. But as you said, any time that former President Trump does something that is questionable or just not even exactly right, they will jump all over that. They'll warn people, conservative Christians, conservative Southern Baptists, from voting for Trump or for wanting in any way to see our nation address these kinds of horrific public things that are going on. They'll say, "Well, you got to keep your religion out of your politics. You know, you don't want to make religion, you don't want to make politics an idol." I mean, this is nonsense, and we ought to shut down the ERLC. Every Southern Baptist pastor, every Southern Baptist church member ought to be writing letters to the executive committee saying we do not want our money to go to the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission anymore. Brent Leatherwood needs to be fired. I called for that immediately upon his being appointed to the ERLC. They've come up wrong on so many key issues like abortion and now this transgenderism nonsense from our president that their best use by date expired long ago.
I just have never seen the purpose for them, and obviously the way they conduct themselves, they have zero purpose. As you said, they're a detriment. They're worse than nothing because they what's their budget, Tom? Something like $3 million?
Yeah, right around $3 million, I think.
That's just sickening. I don't understand why any church would support that.
I don't either. We don't. We quit long ago, and we will not support that kind of nonsense.
How does, just curious, how does the Southern Baptist Convention, if the messenger said, "Hey, we don't want to have that anymore," what is the mechanism to get rid of that as an entity?
Yeah, I tried a few years ago on the floor of the convention. I made a motion that we revise the proposed budget, because every year at the beginning of the year, beginning of the convention, there's a proposed budget for the next year that has to be adopted by the messengers, and I made a motion that we amend the budget to take funding for the ERLC out. And I was told beforehand by the parliamentarian that I checked with to make sure my motion was worded properly, that it was a proper motion, but then was turned down, ruled out of order by the president of the convention and could not get the convention to overrule his decision. I do still think that is a legitimate thing to do. I mean, certainly you and I both know money talks, and if right. all the churches of the SBC would simply say, we are not giving one more dime to the cooperative program until the ERLC is obliterated and removed, that would get the attention of those who have the authority to pressure Brent Leatherwood to resign. If he really cares, as he supposedly does, about ethical things and the welfare of all of the good entities and agencies and good things that are being done in the SBC, and he's the problem that's keeping them from being funded, then he would step down. So apart from that kind of pressure, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. We're talking to Dr. Tom Askell. We're talking about the day after Easter and this transgender day of visibility, so sickening that our president made a proclamation concerning and through his full support, as he has numerous times, behind transgenderism. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. We're talking about the issue that was a buzz on the social media, especially X, with the Transgender Day of Visibility. Joseph Biden, our president, signed a proclamation on Good Friday, of all days, to recognize March 31st, which happened to be Easter Sunday, as the Transgender Day of Visibility. Just sickening beyond belief. Tom, we had a group, well, I guess they're still around, Evangelicals for Biden. I don't know if you know any of the guys that are part of that, but I think they've been fairly silent lately, have they not?
Yeah, they have. I don't know if they're still in existence formally or not, but I do know that one of the top staff members from the ERLC had left the ERLC to go to work for Evangelicals for Biden. So it ties into what we were talking about earlier. And there were some prominent people, prominent evangelicals, who were a part of that group. And they just need to be ashamed of themselves, as do all Christians who tried to make room for Christians voting for Biden. And there are still some even today, although one of the most prolific, outspoken pastors from Texas who has said, you know, Democrats can serve us better and you shouldn't just vote Republican, which I would say you shouldn't just vote Republican either, but he has made room for Biden. Even he agreed with me on social media this week on X that he said, I said, I just find it strange. I'm agreeing with Tom Askell, but this is just a bridge too far. So hopefully people are waking up, as I said to him, and he's a friend, though we disagree on just about everything theologically, politically. Well, that's not true. We both agree Jesus is Lord, but we disagree on so much. I said, well, welcome to the party, friend. You know, it's about time. Better late than never. All Christians right. must wake up and realize what's going on. This is not an anomaly. This is an intentional effort to paganize our society completely. And we who know Jesus Christ must not bow, we must not bend, we must not back up, we must be willing to stand firm, just like our forefathers were, and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's going to become increasingly challenging, because it will become increasingly costly to yes. say that. And we say it without any acrimony, we say it because we know that what is going on here is people are being led to hell. People are being lied to. People are being abused in the name of freedom, in the name of enlightenment. And in reality, what's happening to them is their souls are being led by the hand down to the utter pits of hell under the wrath of God forever. And we who know the truth must be willing to speak the truth. We must be willing to look at Caesar and say, you're not Lord, Jesus is Lord, and let the consequences be what they may, because what's at stake is far too great.
Yeah, amen. Well, Dr. Ergen Kanner posted this on X just the other day. This is no longer Republican versus Democrat. This is good. This is between good and evil. Pick your side. That he's exactly right. It is. And, you know, Tom, as you well know, there are just some people that they can't get past the fact that, well, my father, my grandfather, we were blue collar Democrats, and we've just always, you know, we're for the underdog. And they just have this delusion that the Democrats are for the underdog. And I know, and, you know, I'm careful to not talk about Republicans and Democrats in church, but this is an election year and the stakes are high. How are you planning to address that? And if you have someone in your church that is, they used to call them a yellow dog Democrat, someone like that, mm-hmm. it's not a deal breaker for fellowship, but it's starting to look like that.
Yeah, well, I've been saying for years that a thoughtful, faithful Christian who wants to honor Christ cannot vote for a Democrat. And the reason I say that, because the Democrat platform is horrific. Six times, I reread it again a few months ago, six times it celebrates abortion rights for women. I mean, unlimited abortion rights and funding for abortion for women. No conscientious Christian who's thinking rightly can vote for anyone who stands on that platform. I don't care if it's Billy Graham who's running on the Democratic ticket. You cannot vote for that and be a thoughtful, conscientious Christian. There's some big, massive disconnect in your mind. And that doesn't mean you got to vote Republican, but it does mean you cannot do that. And then that's about all I will say publicly, but I'll say that unapologetically. Privately, I will talk to people about why I think strategically and the best use of our vote, which we should be voting as Christians. We are called upon to love our neighbors. And what does it mean to love our neighbors in a constitutional republic? Well, it certainly means to try to advocate for, use whatever means God's put in your hands to seek their welfare. And so you vote for those policies and those people who implement the policies that you think will provide for greater opportunity for your neighbors to do well in this world. Privately, strategically, I'll say, okay, what does that look like? Well, this election, short of something happening between now and November, I can't anticipate. It means voting for Donald Trump. And, I'll do that with my nose held. I don't encourage all the good things, all the bad things, I mean, that he does, but he has been one of the best presidents in terms of administrative things that he enacted that I've seen in my lifetime. I mean, there were good things done under his administration. And so when you give me that binary choice, and that's what it is always for us right now in this stage of our history in our nation, I'm not going to vote for the one who is actively, openly promoting evil. And I will use my vote strategically to try to do that, which I believe will promote the greatest good. And so that's my political philosophy informed by my theological convictions and understanding. And I don't have any embarrassment in saying you cannot vote for a Democrat if you are a thoughtful Christian. And that's created some tension with some of my friends. And we've had to have some conversations in our church about that, and that's fine. We had a lady yesterday who visited, and she left. She was rather upset. After the service, I was back greeting people, and she had her grandson in tow, and I didn't know her, never seen her before. She said, did I understand you correctly that you condemned someone to hell in your sermon? And I said, well, I'm not sure. What did you hear? And she said, well, you said President Biden is going to hell. I said, well, actually, I didn't say that, though I do believe that, unless he's converted. And because I pray for him. I pray for him every Sunday, and I always pray that God will save him, that God will bring somebody who loves him into his life to tell him the gospel and persuade him to trust Christ. And then I mentioned him in my sermon for his proclamation and how wicked that was. But she said, well, you can't judge people. I said, I'm not judging people. Well, on what basis do you say it? I said, well, the Word of God tells us what a Christian is. Anybody that says I know him and doesn't do what he commands is a liar. The truth's not in him. And she got upset and walked away. But I don't look forward to and try to promote those kinds of confrontations. But we can't be afraid of them.
Right.
We just can't. We can't live in fear and not say what's true because we fear what might be said or done to us. We have to speak the truth if we really love people. And the truth is, no Christian, no thinking Christian, can vote for a Democrat who's standing on the Democrat platform.
Tom, I know you can't get into Donald Trump's head, but he's such an anomaly to me because he's such a narcissist. But when you put him in power, he doesn't take a salary. He seems to work tirelessly to help other people. And that I don't see how that fits with narcissism.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think he has any principles. I mean, that's the thing that concerns me. I think he's a pragmatist, and he's determined, and rightly so in his first administration, that the country is getting fed up with leftist ideologies. And so he tapped into that, sadly, because he doesn't have principles. He relied upon people who did him in, I think, and undermined his policies and got him to do things that he should never have done during the whole COVID fiasco and such. Hopefully he's learned from that. But he did put some good people around him. And, you know, there's some faithful Christians who served in his administration. I know two of them. And they're good men. They're men that I admire and appreciate their political instincts and their devotion to Jesus Christ. And there's some reason to hope that, you know, at least one of them, maybe both, and some other believers or at least conservative thinkers will be a part of his administration if God puts him in office for a second term. So I don't understand it, but I don't understand why Cyrus would let the Jews go back to Jerusalem either. But God raised him up for that very purpose. Yeah. And I know that he has the king's hearts in his hands. Proverbs 21:1 says that. And so I pray to the Lord to change the hearts of our kings, to confound the wicked counsel that comes to their offices. And I pray that he will put the one that he wants to raise up for this moment as President of the United States, and I'll do my best to act principally both in my public proclamations, my private lives and conversations, and in the voting booth. I hope and pray that God will grant us someone with a backbone who will care about this country, who will resist evil even if he doesn't understand why he is doing so.
Yeah, good word, good word. Tom, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on this morning, and I appreciate you, my brother. God bless
you. Thank you. I appreciate you too, man. Grateful for you.
Thanks. All right, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. That was Tom Askell, the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. And Tom is always a wonderful guest, as he has a solid biblical take on what is going on in our nation and in our world. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you, as we've been talking about what happened in our government on Good Friday. The proclamation came out for Transgender Day of Visibility, and that was March 31st, so Easter Sunday. And people have said, oh, this has been going on since 2009, nothing to see here, it's no big deal. To my knowledge, this is the first time that Easter has fallen on this day. And as Tom Askell said, we have so many days and months, you know, a special month here and there, and gay awareness and LGBTQ month and all this stuff. And all this that we're doing as a nation is just shaking our fist in the face of God and saying, we're not going to do what you say. It's a Romans 1 situation where we don't see fit to acknowledge God any longer. We don't want his will, his way, his words, and his word. We're just going to do it our own way. Well, you know, there's a way, Proverbs 16:25 and 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And you can go your own way if you want to, but it's going to be death. Hey, you can say in our upside down crazy world, well, you know, I really, I think I identify more as a female than a male, and you're an XY male. And well, I just identify more to this other sex. You can say that, and you can take drugs for that, and you can have surgery and carve yourself up for that. But hey, you know what? The bottom line at the end of the day, you're still a man. And every cell in your body says you're a man. And your skeletal structure says you're a man. And you can't get away from that. And anybody who goes down the road of transgenderism, that's going to end in misery and destruction and death. Now, there's no doubt about it. The suicide rate for those who bark up that tree is so high. Now, Joe Biden in his proclamation tried to say, well, that's just because they're getting bullied and harassed. No, it's because they are fighting God and they are in turmoil. I tell people this all the time. Listen, it's not difficult to understand. The issue of your sex, you know, 3 or 4 year old knows exactly. My little grandson Jack is 2.5. He knows the difference between boys and girls. Now, he's not able to verbalize that, but he knows who a boy is and who a girl is. It's not hard. And so rather than fight God, just yield to God. And if you're struggling in that area and you have these false thoughts in your mind, bring those to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm this way. I know that science teaches me this, and the scripture teaches me this, and common sense teaches me this, that I have XY chromosomes. I'm a boy, and this person has XX chromosomes. She's a girl. She's a female. And so help me to reconcile that in my mind so that I would live my life as the person that you created me to be and not try and be someone else that will never be and never work. We have Charles on the line from Arkansas. Charles, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
Doing well.
Hey, I got a question. How do you recommend confronting other church members who believe it's okay to vote for people like that's in this administration?
Yeah, good question. I think you did, as Tom Askell said, you just say, look at the platform. I mean, I always boil it down to abortion. Look at that one issue. That one issue is telling. If you're for the murder of the unborn, you're going to be for a lot of other things that are ungodly. And so, so we look at that. I tell my church often, do not, under any circumstances, vote for a candidate who is pro-abortion, pro the murder of the unborn. And you can't do that and say that you're walking with God. God hates that. And that is going to bring cataclysmic judgment on America as we brutally murder the unborn. So I think you can come at them that way, Charles, with that one issue. This proclamation, obviously, on Easter, and the president that knew what he was doing did that. That is a shot across the bow, and we cannot support that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the proclamation from Friday, Good Friday, that President Joe Biden made for Sunday, which was Easter Sunday, but he said it was Transgender Day of Visibility. It's a another one of the many, many days that we recognize transgenderism, LGBTQIA plus issues, and as Tom Askell, who was on previously, said, we have so many months and days and things like that, and so we have to have another one, and we have to make a big to-do of it as a presidential administration on Easter Sunday of all days, the day that Christians from all walks of life in America and around the world, that we celebrate the greatest day in history, the conquering of death, hell, and the grave. You know, the cross and the empty tomb go together. As I said earlier, if you don't have the resurrection from the dead, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, then the cross doesn't have power. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, hey, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then your faith is worthless. You have faith in a dead Savior, and a dead Savior can't save anyone. And so we are of all men most miserable, he said, because we are preaching a lie and believing a lie. But here's the good news. Jesus did rise from the dead, physically, bodily. He came up out of the grave. I've been to Israel. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been in the empty tomb. He is not here. He is risen, just like he said. And the resurrection validated everything he said. Jesus said in John chapter 2, destroy this temple. And the Bible makes it clear. He was speaking of the temple of his body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. And that's exactly what he did. Well, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you if you have a question or a comment as we are dealing with this and this situation that took place in our government on Sunday, this just brazen shaking our fist in the face of God as a nation. We don't realize how holy God is and how sinful we are, and that God will judge and cataclysmically judge. As one person responded on my post on X, formerly Twitter, she said, well, aren't we already experiencing judgment? And we are experiencing judgment in the form of Romans chapter 1. God has given us over to a depraved mind, given us over to sexual immorality and to homosexuality. He has done that, and so the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. So we are experiencing that, but we're not experiencing cataclysmic wrath. You know, I woke up in the middle of the night with a cold, couldn't sleep, and the thought crossed my mind. You know, when Jonah went to Nineveh, Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians. Nineveh was a wicked place. The Assyrians were wicked, brutal people. But when he went there and he preached the message, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown, they responded with fasting and prayers and repentance. And God relented concerning the evil he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. How would we do in America if the message came, yet 40 days and America will be overthrown? I think most of us would just blow it off. We don't realize that we are sprinting and laughing our way to hell. As Adrian Rogers once said, you can laugh your way into hell, but you can't laugh your way out of hell. It's there forever and ever and ever. And as Christians, we don't want anybody to go to hell. Tom Askell was saying that, you know, he prays for Joe Biden's salvation. He prays for him on Sunday morning at his church, and a woman got upset with him. Well, are you saying that Joe Biden's going to hell? Listen, anybody who doesn't put his or her faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation, the Bible makes it clear that that person is on the highway to hell. That's the whole message of the gospel. It's good news for those who understand the bad news. And what's the bad news? That apart from Christ, you're going to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, what happens to those who believe him in him? They should not perish. Well, that tells us that we are perishing without Jesus. And to perish, apolemai, that's eternal perishing. That's finding, waking up in hell and realizing that this is forever. And it's a horrible place. The Bible says that Jesus said himself, hell wasn't created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels, prepared for the devil and his angels. But now people do go there, but it's not because the Lord wants them to. It's because they reject the Lord, they ignore the Lord, they blow him off, they tip their hat instead of bowing their knee, and all that's left for those that do that is a Christless hell. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have Raul, our friend Raul, on the line from Texas. Raul, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Shreve. Thank you for being so current on today's events as well. What are your thoughts on a congregation that you're well aware there's homosexuals in there, two women, two men sitting together time after time? They come to church and the congregation accepts them, loves them because they say that, you know, these people love the Lord, but the pastor, just so he doesn't hurt their feelings, he never speaks on their sin, but just ignores it and just continues to let it be prevalent in the church. What are your thoughts on pastors that do that?
Well, we have too many pastors, I think, Raul, who are so hesitant to do anything that would be controversial or would ruffle any feathers or make anybody upset. And we just, you know, we've so lost sight of what real love is. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love is not just, hey, whatever you want to do, I'm going to pat you on the back and cheer you on for your sin, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication, whether it's pedophilia, as we're having more and more people try and normalize that, drag queen story hour. I'm not going to support that because love doesn't support that. True love says to people, hey, you're going the wrong way. And you need to turn around, because if you keep going that way, you're going to find the fires of hell. And so to not say anything to people that are just openly flaunting their sin and coming to church to do it is one of the most unloving things a pastor could do. Because if you really care about that person, you really want to see that person delivered and set free and put on the narrow road that leads to life, you have to confront them on their sin. So I think if we had people like that at First Baptist and I saw them, they're sitting on the front row or something like that, two men holding hands or whatever, I would want to call them out privately first, but you know, they would know I'm very blunt in my sermons because I don't want anyone to scratch his or her head and say, I wonder what Pastor Jeff thinks. I think people need to know very clearly, very bluntly, this is right, this is wrong. And so I'm a very black and white person, and I preach that way because, that's just the way God's wired me. And so I think they would know coming here. And I say to people, if you're struggling with this, we want you to come. And we will love you, but we'll love you enough to tell you the truth. And because we know that you're on a road that leads to disaster and destruction and eternal death if you don't turn around. So that would be my answer to that, Raul. Have you talked to your pastor about this at all?
Well, it's not my pastor. It's a church that my family, my sisters, that they attend, and you know, they just accept it as okay because, you know, they said, oh, there's nothing wrong with, you know, homosexuality. You know, they love the Lord, and then, you know, they come to church faithfully. They bring their Bibles, and you know, there are two women, two men in the congregation. I said, well, that's sin. I said, they're exposing sin in blood, you know, out in the church. And they just think that there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, it's acceptable. They're homosexual Christians. And I just said, it just can't be that way.
Right.
And I said, your pastor should, you know, talk to them.
Yes.
And because the rest of the congregation is thinking it's okay. It just gives that message.
Right. Yeah, that's a big problem. Obviously, that pastor is not teaching his congregation the truth of Scripture and this idea that, you know, that you can be... Now, you can be a Christian, a true Christian, and you can get fouled up in lots of sin. But to say this is who I am, and God's going to accept me as this adulterous Christian or fornicating Christian or homosexual Christian, that is not the case. And people are going to find out, hey, the Lord really is holy, holy, holy. He really does hate sin, and he invites people to come to him, but how do we come? We have to leave the pigsty of sin, just like the prodigal did. You can't hold on to that and be made right with the Father. You have to turn from that, and repentance is critical. And I had mentioned in my sermon yesterday, one of the things that the Lord has told us as we are his witnesses, Luke 24, that we are to preach and proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name. So we talk to people about their sins, and we talk to them about repentance. And Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and 13:5, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We seem to have a gospel today, a false gospel that just says, oh, just believe in Jesus. You can live any way you want. It doesn't matter because of grace. That is not true. You have to turn from sin and receive the Savior. You can't get saved holding on to sin because he hates sin. He died for sin. But what you can do is say, Lord, I'm struggling with this, and I come before you. I don't want this in my life. I want you to be glorified in my life. So help me. I want to put this sin to death on a daily basis and walk with you. And God responds to that because that's the desire of your heart, to walk in holiness, not to walk in sin. Well, I appreciate you calling, Raul, and that is a big problem. And so I don't personally, I would have to talk to the pastor, and if I couldn't get reconciliation, I'd have to leave a place like that. Because the truth is just not being taught there. You know, it reminds me, Todd Starnes posted that Sunday at Calgary Unitarian Church, which should tell you everything you need to know about that place. They don't preach the truth or believe the truth, but they had a Drag Me to Church program, which was celebrating drag queens on Easter Sunday. Four men dressed as women were scheduled to participate in the Drag Me to Church program, dressing up like drag queens and doing whatever they did at this Calgary Unitarian Church. Just sickening. You know, Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10, they burned strange fire before the Lord, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. You start messing in the sacred and messing with God's stuff, the sacredness of his church, and man, you are playing Russian roulette. I mean, you're playing chicken with a tornado. It is just insanity. And there's going to be a price to pay, because the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Well, thank you for your call, Raul. I appreciate it. And we have Brian on the line from Alabama. Brian, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. My comment is, and I know it might be offensive to some, but I mean, I'm listening and I hear these folks that are voting for Democrats, that are supposed to be Christian. I don't see how they compute that, because the Democrat Party as a whole, now I know there may be a couple in there that don't, but as a whole, the Democrat Party is standing for every kind of perversion under the sun. And I don't see how, with a good conscience, you can go in there and vote for a Democrat and support the Democrat Party and then turn around and call yourself a Christian, because everything they stand for is against the Word of God. And that's my comment.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, I don't know how people do that either, Brian. It doesn't compute. We have Marco on the line from Texas. Marco, we just have 60 seconds.
I'll be quick. How do I deal with anger when I feel God's been disrespected? I know it's not about me. I know I got to do things in love, but the frustration and anger comes for the ignorance. It's not even ignorance, intentional blasphemy against God, intentional disrespect by Biden. How do I deal with that anger?
Yeah, great question, Marco. I think it's good to have that. That means you have a passion for the Lord. Obviously, you don't want to respond to that in a way that would be sinful, but I would just bring that to the Lord. Lord, this makes me so angry because this is defiling your day and your word and your ways. And so, God, bring salvation in this situation and do a work. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.